bison cooked in rendered duck fat, and it just melts in your mouth. And the combination of the earthiness from the bison and the creamy kind of saltiness from the bechamel cheese of the truffle mac is so incredible. And people are every time are like, this is so good. This is like the best thing I've ever eaten. I'm gonna dream about this. I literally had a guy Instagram me yesterday who said, is it weird that I dream about your meat? I was like, okay. So
Oh
those
my
two are
God.
probably my.
Fresh Air Community Radio is KFAI FM, Minneapolis, St. Paul. Online and archived at KFAI.org. The community's true voice.
The viewpoints expressed in this program are the opinions of the people expressing them and are not necessarily those of Fresh Air Incorporated, its staff, or its board of directors.
What's up? This is Toolman.
And this is Bear Witness.
And we are the Hallucination.
And you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake, Best Of.
The Hallucination.
It's a good day to be indigenous. Get up,
stand up. They are going to become more brutal.
Couldn't cut, hitting cut again.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade.
Hey, Kadagi, to all my friends and relatives in four directions, you are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. Hey, we discuss local, national, Native news and events, and as you know, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues. Hey, welcome, everybody. Hey, today we're going to be welcoming Kami Weston again from let me look this up again because, you know, I have trouble speaking. Owami Minia Yo Mini. Owami Minia O Mini. We're going to be talking about some great announcing about the full design of the project here in Minneapolis, below the city there, right on the river, and sharing some exciting new details of what's ahead. Also, I want to, before we get Kami on, I want to also talk about. It's an honor to be talking about Native American Heritage Month here each day here during this month. But as you know, here on Native Roots Radio, it's always Native American Heritage. So welcome, everybody. And, you know, this Sunday, I want to remind everyone that at the Minneapolis Institute of Art, I will be hosting, along with the Minneapolis Institute of Art, the showing of Indian Horse and the movie Indian Horse, and it'll be a Q&A afterwards with Ajawak, who's one of the film's lead actors, and I will be hosting that Q&A, and it's free to the public, so just sign in so you make sure you have a seat. Go on their website, Minneapolis Institute of Art. So it's pretty exciting. And then also, we do have a confirmation on the next Sunday at 2 p.m. We'll be showing Smoke Signals, and we'll have our friend Dr. Evan Adams there. And he played Thomas, and I have never met him. So we'll be doing the Q&A and kind of a meet and greet and with pictures and things like that. And so that's exciting, and I'll be very happy to see that. Be there with the Q&A, also pictures and things like that. I'll be selling posters too from Smoke Signals. Years ago, I purchased for Native Roots Trading Post posters to Smoke Signals. We'll get them autographed and take care of it that way. And also, I just want to give a quick shout out to Native Roots Trading Post, which is at the Minneapolis Dayton's in Minneapolis. So you guys check that out. And also, Wendy's art is at Southdale. You know, Southdale Mall is the first mall in the whole United States that came up in 1956, and she has her art there. And again, as you're hearing the ads too, we're on Cause Cart. So if you want to buy anything off Cause Cart, like the Resist t-shirts, please check it out, Cause Cart. So, hey, without any further ado, let's get a Commie Weston on and get an update here. Commie, some really, really exciting things happening. Welcome again to Native Roots Radio. Thank you so much for coming on. Ho-wa.
Hey, thank you. I'm always glad to be back and to visit with you guys.
Right on. Hey, big happenings. I'm so excited. I've seen the press report, and I've seen a few spots on what's happening down there. It looks beautiful. I want to talk about this. Let's talk about what's happening with your organization. Ho-wah.
Yeah, I'm super excited about all the transformation that's happening. And this past Monday, we finally put it out there, our project design, for the public to see. And it's super exciting. You know, the design restores the river bluff that, you know, will showcase our natural limestone in that area, the limestone formations. We're reintroducing native plant species like oak savanna, and creating that upland prairie on top, and using seeds and soils that we are sourcing from the Dakota tribal lands in the state. So a lot of big things happening.
And again, the organization's Owami Minya Yomini, and it's a Dakota-led nonprofit in downtown Minneapolis riverfront. And it's, again, what the waterfall kind of blew my mind. Talk a little bit about that. Ho-wah.
Yeah, so Owami Yomini Okoreyapi is what the organization is, and the land in the area is Owami Yomini. We're Dakota-led and guided by Dakota knowledge keepers from multiple Dakota tribes, and they really help shape the design. And one of the features, like you said, is the recreation of a 25-foot water cascade over the original escarpment. And there's a lot of different things, but one thing that we really asked ourselves is, it's not what we want for that area. It's really what the water wants, what the land wants to become again. And if you go to the site, where the parking lot is now down below, at the start of Stone Arch Bridge in the Army Corps parking lot area, there's like a big crack in the side of the wall, and you can see water trying to come through there. And so one of the things and the stories that we heard from the Dakota knowledge keepers and others was that water did flow through there at one point in time. And so researching that and working with the design team to create this 25-foot water cascade again. And it really shows in the drawings and the renderings that we put out there. And I'm just so excited for it. And I'm excited for the construction to start and to be finished.
You know, a lot of Native-led organizations are doing things like, I guess, is it called daylighting creeks? Or it's something called like that. And that's what you're doing with this falls.
Yeah, in a sense, that's the term I never heard before until coming and working on these projects and, you know, finding, researching what once was and bringing it up to light, daylighting it. I really thought that was a really cool term to describe mm-hmm. that. But yeah, it's really what the land wants and what the water wants, and try to help it become that way.
Yeah, I know, just off subject a little bit, the Hidden Falls was almost just St. Paul. It was always kind of a sewer runoff from the street when it ran. But once they daylighted the creek, it's running all the time with fresh water going to the river. So these are things that have been around and by colonization stopped. And now your organization and other organizations around the state are really, I like the term too, daylighting.
I think one thing that Western colonization brought was what they thought they were trying to industrialize and make things better. They actually hid our natural resources, destroying them. And they didn't realize how much it is needed for the land and for the animals and ourselves, for our well-being. So really bringing in this water cascade, we're not only helping the wildlife in the area, we're helping the fish, the people. You know, it's a really bringing back the visuals and beautifying the area. And it's not just about the beautifying it, or if that's the term, but it's just a large scale environmental restoration is what it is, and one of Minnesota's most iconic landscapes.
It is. And how exciting to be a part of this. How long was this worked on? Because I know your organization, especially now that it's Dakota led, has not been Dakota led that long, and things seem to be moving really, really fast.
Yeah, from my understanding, and I should research this myself more, but from my understanding, the organization has been around for about 10 years, starting out as Friends of the Falls and Friends of St. Anthony. And it wasn't until our president, Shelley Book, really got onto the team and wanted to bring forth the Dakota voices back and bringing Dakota people back to the area. And so the name was changed to a Dakota word, Owamni Omni Okodayapi, which is a rough translation of Friends of the Falls, Friends of that area, and really leading the entire process with a Dakota mindset first.
Hey, we are here with Kami Weston, and we're going to take a short break and some exciting news here. This is Native Roots Radio, and we'll be right back after this short break. Please stay with us. Ho-wa.
To our elders who teach us of our creation and our past, so we may preserve Mother Earth for ancestors yet to come, we are the land.
This is dedicated to our relatives before us, thousands of years ago, and to the 150 million who were exterminated across the Western Hemisphere in the first 400 years' time, starting in 1492.
To those who have kept their homelands, and to the nations extinct due to mass slaughter, slavery, deportation, and disease unknown to them, and to the ones who are subjected to the same treatment today, to the ones who...
I'm Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan, and I want to be your next United States Senator, and you are listening to Native Roots Radio.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot. Hey, welcome back, everybody. Hey, we are here with Kami Weston with Owami Mini Yo Mini Oko Da Yapi. Did I get that good this time?
We're getting there.
Yeah. Pini Gigi for the encouragement. Really great to see you again. So we're talking about the things that are happening there. And this is a Dakota-led nonprofit that's downtown Minneapolis in Riverfront. And the things that are bringing it back to the way things were, which is totally exciting. Kami, what is the timeline for this?
So construction on our transformative project will begin in early 2026, which is just right around the corner, with land and plant restoration first, followed by the water and the shoreline restoration in the coming years in 2027 and 28.
So you said it's that Army Corps of Engineers parking lot right by the bridge. Is that going to be the area and then below that?
Yeah. So as you're coming down Portland Avenue, that's actually going to be the entrance to the restorated project area. So the current parking lot right now will become our Mother Gardens, which will be the start of our traditional plants and foods and medicines. People will be able to go in. There won't be any vehicle access through there, but you'll be able to walk through there and walk through the gardens and look at all of our medicines and foods.
So can you tell our audience, I'm sure a lot of our audience out there do not know what our medicines are, and a lot of them. Can you talk about a few of them?
Yeah, so we have a long list of medicines that we talked about and have in the planning process, and we're working with the Dakota tribes to get seeds from each of the lands, seeds and soil, like I said before. So that'd be sage, sweet grass, choke cherries, plums, and just a plethora of medicines that we use. And we'll be using a cultural maintenance process in harvesting these medicines. So a lot of the things that we'll be harvesting, you know, when you think of like landscape maintenance, we'll be harvesting these things, but we're not just going to be throwing them away or putting them in the compost. We'll be harvesting them to use in the future, to give out to our Dakota relatives and anyone who's interested in these medicines and foods.
Absolutely. You know, it's funny that Sean Sherman was just on Comedy Central last night, and he was talking about, and he mentioned that a lot of people think the weeds are weeds that are bad, but anything, and I learned this from Barry Hand, we always like to bring up Barry, anything with a square trunk is a medicine. And I did not know that until years ago. So a lot of the things that Western society thinks as weeds is medicine.
Yeah, there's a lot. You know, you can go out to your front yard and find plantain plant. And that's used as a salve for burns or cuts. You can go out and even the dandelion root, dandelion plant, you know, you can use the entire thing, the leaves and the roots. And a lot of people see them as just weeds in the grass or in the parks. And so much of our Western mindset is to get rid of these things so you can have like lush green grass. But really, we want to reintroduce these medicines and plants. And the thing with the square stem, that's not something a lot of people know. And so that's one of the things we'll try to teach people while we're at the site.
You got a young warrior behind you right now. Oh, how's it going? It's amazing. And so you will not only have this garden, but you'll be, educating people, because I know at Kami, we have in my house, whole front yard is a bee place for bees. So every 2 years it changes. It's crazy. And we saw so many butterflies and bees this year. And you talked about like the dandelion and, you know, people in this area. And I think people are changing the way they think. But, you know, then I go to New York in Long Island where we have our other home and nobody's doing that. So it's a slow process. But I believe people are kind of latching on to, you know, knowing that dandelions are good for our bees and our relatives and our foods.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's definitely different. One thing I noticed about when we moved to Minnesota and just driving around the cities and the outer towns, a lot of people's front yards are very natural. So I was like, oh, cool. We don't have to keep up with like having our grass like super green and perfect. Yeah. It's supposed to.
That's so funny you say that, because I think I cut the grass 3 times last year in the backyard. That's so funny. And before 30 years ago, when or 20 years ago, when we first bought this house, I'm out there, you know, with a ruler and doing all the manicuring with the grass. But grass is just concrete in the front of your house, basically. It's not good. And I think people are realizing that, but this is going to be a great example. And I can't wait to get some free choke cherries from you. Ho-wah.
Oh, yeah. We have a lot of plans coming for the coming years. We do have the new engagement space that we acquired down at the Crown Royal Plaza that's right across the street from the Stone Arch Bridge. So we'll be using that space for programming and for a lot of other things, but where we'll be able to showcase and teach how to use these different plants and how to cook different foods and a lot of different Dakota Lifeway teachings. We'll be able to do them in person now.
So for our listening audience, how can they find out more information? Because we're all over Turtle Island, not just the Twin Cities. Is there a website, Facebook, to give all this great information out?
Yeah, so our Facebook page and our Instagram page is Owamini Yomini Okoreyapi, and then our website is owaminiyomini.org. I really encourage you to go check it out, the website, and as well as our social media pages, because you can see the design on those. We share them on all platforms. So now that it's out in the public, there's a really cool feature I like on our website where you can slide. It's a picture of before restoration and after. Wow. So look for that feature on our website. I think it's really cool.
Yeah, that is cool. I got to give a shout out to Shelley Buck, to the CEO, and she's running for office, and I can't wait to have her on the show and talk about that. But that's an amazing thing. I really believe here, and especially in Minnesota, we really are blessed with a lot of great native leaders and if you're not at the table, you know, you need to be at the table. And, you know, we talk about bringing up a folding chair and, but running for office is right there. And, Shelley's a great person.
She is an amazing leader and I'm so excited for her. And, you know, when we talk about these tables and trying to make room for Dakota voices, you know, sometimes we just need to create our own table.
Yeah.
Bring it next to theirs and collaborate in that way.
You know, I like that because that's what you're doing down there now by the river, because those are things are moving fast in such a good way. It's amazing to think about that, and it'll be a place for people to go and realize the beauty that comes from Mother Earth, which we talk about and pray to all the time.
Yeah, there's so much stories around the area and in the entire state also, but one thing unique with Ouaumini Ouaumini Ocote Yapi is really using these Dakota knowledge keepers for their guidance and their support. You know, it's really unheard of for organizations to do a big project like this and utilizing Dakota voices in the way we are. I really encourage all organizations to do that. And it's really takes us back to our traditional teachings of looking towards elders, not just elders, but, you know, those knowledgeable people, those Dakota, Lakota or whatever tribe you are, looking towards those knowledge keepers for the stories and for the teachings and really guiding you in your work.
Yeah, wow, that's exactly well said. And there's a lot of our relatives that really have want to give a shout out to that have really helped us with the pathway here, because, you know, what you're doing right now with your organization and, you know, what Shelley Buck is doing and what Barry Hand's doing, it was hard to do and be so out there in public 20, 30 years ago.
Yeah, it's unheard of with how much we've progressed over this past year, even. Right. Even though the organization has been around for almost 10 years, I feel like everything just hit the ground running this past year and things have been moving really fast. And, you know, we have a lot to be thankful for and a lot of people to be thankful for with our funding and our collaborations with the city and the park board and all of our donors and funders that are making this possible.
Yeah, that's a really good point, because a lot of this couldn't be happening if the city didn't see a need to support Indigenous and especially Dakota people, where this is their land. And I liked, again, what Sean Sherman said, that Native America, that's us. I mean, that's the whole Turtle Island. And it's a good reminder, and especially with the work that you and the organization are doing again. Just one more time before we let you go, can you let people know how they can support you and also your Facebook and Instagram again?
Yeah, you know, you could support us. If you can't support us like monetarily with a small donation, because any amount helps our project move forward, you know, really sharing what we're doing with your community and just out there on all social media platforms. Then you can find us again on Facebook and Instagram at Ouaumini Ouaumini Ocote Yapi, and our website is ouaumini.org.
Yeah, and we do have a big fundraising day coming up here, so look for that and give some money to this great organization. Kami, Weston, I really, really appreciate our conversations, and I'm working on the name. I swear to God, I'm working on the name over and over again. But you'll understand after years being on the show that that's not my forte, as they say. Thank you so much for being on, and we'll see you next time.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me.
Hey, up next, Robert Lilligren, our friend we haven't talked to in a while. I can't wait to see him. This is Native Roots Radio.
Programming on KFAI is supported by Quit Partner. Quitting smoking or vaping is easier said than done. Quit Partner offers Minnesotans no-cost resources to quit nicotine, including patches, gum and lozenges, coaching, and digital support. More at quitpartnermn.com.
Support for KFAI comes from the Southern Theater, presenting Kiss of the Spider-Woman, the musical, November 14th, 15th, and 16th, and November 21st, 22nd, and 23rd. Step into a world where fantasy and reality blur. based on the book by Terrence McNally with music by John Kander and Fred Ebb, Teatro del Pueblo brings you a bold reimagining of this Broadway classic. More information about Kiss of the Spider-Woman, the musical, is available at southerntheater.org.
This is Representative Charisse Davids from Kansas. I'm Ho-Chunk, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot. Hey, welcome back, everybody. This is Robert Pilot, and we have our friend Robert Lilligren on. So good to see you, Robert. So much has been going on. I know we haven't talked in a couple of weeks, but wow, a lot happening. And I just want to bring up one thing before I forget, that it's Give to the Max Day, and I'd like you to take the lead on that and talk about a few organizations, including your organization, how people can support this.
Yeah, thanks, Robert. Bonjour. It's so good to see you. It has been a minute, and so good to be here and good to reconnect. And yeah, Give to the Max Day. It's a big movement where folks can contribute to their preferred causes. And of course, Native American Community Development or Institute or NACDI is one of those. So we do a lot of effort to support giving to NACDI and to our partner organizations as well. And, you know, it's this year end giving, right? So Give to the Max kind of kicks it off. A lot of people like myself kind of wait for the end of the year to figure out what I have to give.
Yeah.
And then where I want to put those resources. And so it's so appreciated by all the nonprofits, the Native nonprofits, especially. People can go to NACDI.org, NACDI.org, and they can give to NACDI for Give to the Max Day, or pick one of our partner organizations as well.
Well, we haven't talked to you in a while, and I'd really like to catch up a little bit what's happening with Native American Community Development Institute and what's happening on the Avenue, which is so much. I've gotten FOMO, Robert, because I've had a cold that I can't like seem to shake, so I have been like hiding in the house.
Yeah, so sorry to hear about your cold, but I'm kind of in that same space and trying not to get other people sick.
Right.
And there's so much going on in the community and on the American Indian Cultural Corridor as well. It's our season of sort of events, galas, annual meetings, celebrations, and it's been a busy season. And so I'm missing out on a few of them as well, just to protect myself and to protect others' health as well. But I mean, in any given day, there's some kind of event or celebration or recognition going on.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sorry you're sick, but I hear you. Me too. There's something going on tonight that we're both missing. And because I have a cold and I don't want to spread it out. And
I
haven't been able to shake it.
Is that the Native Rise event? Is that tonight?
No, that was down at the Minneapolis or Minnesota Art Institute. The governor and lieutenant governor are meeting with Native leaders. And I got an email and I went, hey, I'm a Native leader. Oh, wow.
Right. Well, there's another event going on at Minneapolis Institute of Arts, or MIA, along with the Walker Arts Center, of which I'm a board member. And they're doing a combined board sort of event tonight. But again, I didn't want to be in a group of people not feeling my best.
No, I get it. But, you know, we got to, let's talk a little bit about your yellow building there and what's happening there, because I know that people coming from all over, and I was texting you earlier, and I just got to say that Dr. Adam Evans is going to be in town on the 29th with the and I am emceeing at the Minneapolis Institute of Art Smoke Signals, and he'll be there doing Q&A and selfies and things like that afterwards. And I've never met Thomas from Smoke Signals. I'm excited.
I haven't either. Is that the 29th of December or the 29th?
No, November for Native American Heritage Night.
All right. Exciting. So that's something to look forward to. And
well, if you can make it, we have a
you and your husband can come to our secret dinner at Owamni at 6.
That's just a secret anymore, is it? No. Yeah. Over millions of listeners know.
Yeah. So we're only going to have...
I thank you for the invitation. I misunderstood the date. So...
You have to check it out. Yeah. It's just be fun to hang out and talk about things, because not only is he a great actor, he's so connected up in Canada with helping as being a doctor, helping his community up there. So it'll be really interesting to talk to him about what he's doing up there.
I love it. Yeah. If I can make it, I will.
Yeah. And your husband's invited too. Thanks. It's just, I'm only paying for dessert. Ho.
we could pay our own way. There's a lot going on, like you said, and it's very exciting at NACD, or Native American Community Development Institute. We're just coming off of our busy season and kind of trying to catch our breath a little. We have a little bit of a reprieve between now and the end of the year. We're doing our budgeting and our planning for next year and everything. But from the farmers market season, the urban farm season, make voting a tradition leading up to the local elections earlier this month. And then, of course, all of the activities at our gallery, All My Relations Arts, it's been a lot. So it's kind of nice to have just a minute to take a breath.
Well, we're going to try and do some more things. You know, maybe I can get you on another day also, other than your own day, because I really believe, especially with all the natives that are coming out and running for office, you know, we were just talking about Shelley Buck, but there's more where that comes from. We have a Ho-Chunk, a former representative, who's running for Congress in Wisconsin, and we want to get the word out there, and it'd be great to have you involved with whatever way you can be.
Please let me know. I can support these candidates. You know, it's always part of my mission to support more Native people into elected office, especially Native women, but Natives and people across the board. I just, you know, I'm at that point in my life where it's really, how do I transfer whatever knowledge I have so it could be useful to the next generations coming up. And so whatever I can do, I did see the word about the Ho-Chunk sister who's running for Congress. That's very exciting. And it's funny. I mean, it's funny how close the concentric circles of my life and work are. And I've had the same conversation probably 5 times in the last few days about how to support Native candidates, how to develop Native candidates, you know, the possibility of maybe creating a 501c4 locally that can help support Native people. And so, so very exciting. And to see that sort of generational, not just the transfer of sort of leadership and things, you know, that the generational transfer of leadership means people like me, old people, need to step aside and make space for people coming up, but also how do we support these young leaders? And man, there's a crop of young leadership coming up, not just elected leadership, but
community leadership,
organizational leadership. And for me, it's exciting at this point in my life to see these young people step forward.
Oh, I agree 100%. I was just told, though, today that I can't retire. So I guess, like, if somebody's going to take over Native Roots Radio, they'll have to be another hour afterwards, my show.
Well, this idea of retirement, right? What does that look like? One of the things we talk about at NACD quite a bit now is succession, right? I mean, not just the succession of the leader, the CEO, but succession of all positions. And so one of the things we've tasked ourselves with is thinking around, if I'm not here, how does my work get done? Who does my work and things? Mm-hmm. And so really being deliberate about that. And I think that's not just good for our organization, but it's good for the community, for our relatives, for how we do our work. And I think it's good to be really open about that, right? To be clear about that. I won't be. I'm 65 years old. I've said that several times today. I'm 65 years old. I don't know how long
I have
to do this work. And so I want to make sure that the work continues. And I'm not the most important person here, right? I mean, the work is important. Mm-hmm. People continue it. So, but we got to be deliberate about that, right? Deliberate about these succession plans. And yeah, I find it very exciting.
Yeah. Well, it's funny. I'm 64, so I miss when we were a two-hour show years ago, we used to talk before we did our pre-recorded segment. And it's like, I miss those talks because we did a lot of reminiscing, but also talked about the young ones coming up.
Yep. And that is so super exciting. And just listening to your guests right before me and the work at Omni Omnia Kadayapi and the work that's happening there, and that it's Dakota centered, as it should be, right? And several years ago, our organization, NACDI, was engaged with what was then called Friends of the Falls,
right?
The organizational structure around that work. And they came to us and said, we need to center Native voices here. And at NACDI, we knew, you know, we're not a Dakota organization. We kind of represent across the community, but we knew that it had to be under Dakota control, right? And guidance and vision. And so we worked for about 2 years, 2.5 years to shift that and to create the opportunities for Shelley Buck and for her incredible staff and that organization to step forward. And we were just kind of, you know, laying the groundwork, you know, putting the breadcrumbs in place so the most authentic voices could get in there and do the work. And man, they have done it.
Robert, you know, we did many shows a few years ago just specifically about this Friends of the Falls. I remember that and how Native American Community Development Institute was helping. And that's a great reminder of the work that you guys do.
Yeah, thanks. And then we stepped out, right? When the right people were in the center of the conversation, we weren't even necessary there. And I just think, for me anyway, that's a good example, a good reminder of, you know, we're not here to continue work. We're here to move it along in the right path, right? It wasn't about NACDI. It was about getting the right voices at the table. And man, are they there. And for people who aren't aware, this little piece, I shouldn't even say little, but this significant piece of land and water right on the Central Business District, right on the river here in Minneapolis, is a critical piece of the puzzle. And in my, what now, 2.5 decades of being in sort of civic affairs here and stuff, this has been a priority for just about everybody in the city of Minneapolis, the parks, the downtown community, the business community. And so to put it under such capable hands as Shelley Buck and the staff at Omni Omnia Kadayapi, it's thrilling. I mean, this is not something I'd ever thought I'd really see, even in my lifetime.
Wow. Hey, we're here with Robert Lilligren, CEO of Native American Community Development Institute in the Twin Cities, Minnesota. And I want to talk a little bit about politics. We haven't talked about the last election, and then also how people can support Native American Community Development Institute in our last segment. Hey, this is Native Roots Radio, and we'll be right back after this short break. Stay with us. Ho-wa!
What's up? This is Toolman.
And this is Bear Witness.
And we are the Hallucination.
And you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
Oh-ho! This is Dallas Goldtooth, and you're listening to the Native Roots Radio. Hoka Hicha Wicha.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot. Hey, welcome back, everybody. Hey, we're here with Robert Lilligren, CEO of Native American Community Development Institute here in the Twin Cities, Minnesota. And we're just talking over things. Robert, welcome back. I'm wondering if you can, because it's Give to the Max Day, if you can give out your information again before I start grilling you on all this political stuff.
All right. Can't wait to get into the political stuff. But yeah, it's Give to the Max Day. If you want to support our work, you can go to NACDI.org. That's NACDI.org. Or our Facebook page. There's a lot of links there as well. So Native American Community Development Institute on Facebook, and it highlights some of the work that we're doing. Our staff has done an incredible campaign to lift up the Give to the Max Day. And so, so if people can support us, great. And support, if not us, some Native organization, right? This is an important day, and to sort of fill out our budgets for the next year. So yeah, let's give to the max.
It's totally a important day, especially after all these federal cuts. So please do give and give as what you can. And it's a good write-off time and things like that. So, Robert, I know we've been sick, we've been busy, we haven't connected, but we had a blue tsunami, and we were really happy nationally about what's going on here. And so what are your thoughts about that? I mean, we can just go on and on about it on every state and red states.
Right. So, yes, the results of the elections this year across the country were very encouraging. To me, they weren't hugely surprising. I mean, in general, a sitting president's party loses support through the term, but I think this president specifically is just jettisoning support away from his party, from his administration. And so it's not a time to rest or to be or to relax. We're heading into the midterms, super important, and so we need to stay on it. But I think we're on the right track. And you know, at NACD, we have our Make Voting a Tradition, MBAT, we call it Make Voting a Tradition. And I just before I got on here on the air, Robert, I got was looking at an email, and we did a partnership through this last election. And one of the things that we were able to do from Make Voting a Tradition, which is this multi-generational approach to engage Native people in the political process and the policy process. It's not just about voter turnout, but of course, elections are always important. And over the last two, three cycles, we've had partners at the national level who come and partner with Make Voting a Tradition and to gather data. It's like research, right? Mm-hmm. What motivates Native people into the voting booth? And these have just been tremendous partnerships with a lot more resources than we have that really start to splice and dice this, but they provide us with data. And so I just got the data report minutes before I came on. And I haven't spent all that much time with it, but the little bit that I have has been amazing and super exciting. And you know, things like how we put out ads or these billboards. And so we now know that 372,389 people saw our ads.
Wow.
Right? And that we made impressions on people 3 million, over 3 million times. And the number of clicks. And it's just, it's really exciting to have that kind of concrete data. Because when you do this systems change work, sometimes you can't really tell, is anyone noticing? Are we making any progress? Are we having any impact?
And so I know you and two other organizations a couple cycles ago registered over 9,000 people up north. And you remember that? Yeah. That was the difference between having a Governor Walz and not having a Governor Walz and Peggy Flanagan.
Right. And, you know, the Native vote isn't huge here or even across the country, but it's significant, right? And in this era when elections are being won by 1 or 2 percentage points, that's us, right? Yeah. We can make that difference. And I think throughout the last few election cycles, the broader world has seen that. Oh, okay. We can't be ignored, right? Mm-hmm. What were we on CNN a few cycles ago? Something else.
Right.
We're not just something else.
Right.
We're legitimate voters, and the more that we can motivate and activate those votes, the more impact we're going to have.
Well, before we get too far into it, and I know we have a shorter time than we normally do, but I want to mention Transgender Day of Remembrance, and we can talk a little bit about that, too.
Right. It's important, right? And our transgender relatives are under such attack right now by hostile politics and hostile fellow Americans, right? And so I think it's especially important that we stand up with our transgender relatives or two-spirit relatives and show that we are supportive and we're working to create safe spaces for people, and that we're being very deliberate about it. And, you know, as a two-spirit person myself, you know, and kind of following this trajectory, and it's just up until fairly recently has been really rewarding to see how much we can support our transgender brothers and sisters and relatives. And so to see, feel this kind of backsliding where there's this hostility being openly expressed against our transgender relatives, I feel like it's more important now than ever to make sure that we're clear. We support our transgender relatives, and we acknowledge that transgender people are murdered at a highly disproportionate rate, right? And so as we remember some of these people that have passed, that adds another significance.
Yeah, absolutely. I want to remind everyone, too, that the Minnesota Council of Nonprofits have received an award, and I just want to give you a big shout out. I'm not sure if we've talked about this, but I wanted to talk about this.
I guess it has been a while since we've been here. And so since I've been here, so the Minnesota Council of Nonprofits, it's an association of thousands of nonprofits across the state of Minnesota, and they give out three recognitions in different categories, racial equity, I can't remember the other one, and then advocacy. And this year, Native American Community Development Institute received the Advocacy Award for the Minnesota Council of Nonprofits. It's a big deal. And this beautiful video that you can find at their website, at our website, and the award and the recognition. And it kind of goes back to when NACTI is fundamentally a systems change organization. Right. And when you're doing systems change work, sometimes you're doing undoing generational harms. And so it's not necessarily that fast paced. And sometimes I can't even tell, people if we're making progress or people are even noticing. And so to receive the Advocacy Award from Minnesota Council of Nonprofits was very affirming.
Well, we got less than a minute left here. Again, Give to the Max, and also Native American Community Development Institute Facebook page. Jump on there. There's so much on there. If you're on Facebook, if not, we got website. Robert, this went way too fast.
It went really fast. There's so much going on. We have our Native Authors Program doing public readings. We have seed packing workshops, zine making workshops going on. So, yeah, lots to do at NACTI.
Well, and again, thanks for coming on. And, geez, we really got to fire up. I'm excited for the Blue Tsunami and also excited to the great work that Native American Community Development Institute does. And, geez, that's just a great example when we were talking, to Awamni Mini, that you guys really helped move that on. I forgot about that until you brought that up. We had many shows about
they it. Did the work, right? We right. just helped create the pathway to get the appropriate voices in the decision-making positions.
Yeah, great work. Great work. Hey, thanks a lot, everyone. This is Native Roots Radio. We're still here. We are the seventh generation. We'll see you tomorrow. Ho-ah.
You're listening to Native Roots Radio. I'm Bobby Wilson. Wee-cha.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakanja Hade.
KFAI is excited to welcome Melbourne, Australia's progressive extreme metal maestros, Neobliviscaris, performing two albums in full, 2023's Exol and 2014's Citadel, Tuesday, November 25th at Fine Line in Minneapolis. With support from Rivers of Nile and Psychroptic, this show is guaranteed to have you exhaling what remains of reason. Tickets for Neobliviscaris, Rivers of Nile, and Psychroptic are available now at First Avenue's website. Visit first-avenue.com for more details.
Yeah. Hi, I'm Jane Fonda, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
In this portion of the show, we'd like to bring awareness to our wolf and bear populations. Say no to the hunts.
No!
No!
Woo, 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 woo!
Rawr. That's supposed to be a bear.
I'm going to have to work on my bear.
Yeah.
All right. Hey, I want to introduce my awesome and beautiful wife, Wendy. Wendy has been an animal advocate for many, many years and started with Native Roots Radio as one of the co-founders. Great to see you, and take it away.
Thanks a lot. Hey, everybody. My name is Hannah Jihi Hani, which everybody knows, and that means cares for them. I was given that name by my Dago Curtis. Curtis goes by Mashke Hanajinga, which means walks on white clouds. I am a policy volunteer for Humane World for Animals, formerly known as the Humane Society of the United States, and I work on animal issues at the local and state level. It's always my pleasure to do that. So I'm always constantly looking for new animal information so I could bring to you. And I came across these videos of these little, like, people out on the ocean in their boats and these little seals jumping on the back of the people's boats to escape the orcas coming to eat them. So these orcas are chasing this poor little seal, and the seals are jumping on the back of people's boats to escape getting eaten by the orcas. Kind of makes me sad. I mean, I know the orcas have to eat, and it's like the circle of life, but it's just, the seals are just so cute. I don't want them to get eaten. But anyway, these people are like, and once you watch one of those videos and you stay on there for a while, then you see another one and another one and another one. They're really cute. So you could just Google them and watch them. They're really fun. Some of the people will, you know, drive away with the seal on their back and, you know, let the seal get off somewhere else where the orcas aren't. So they're rescuing them too. But I came across this article that I found really interesting. So I want to just share this with you. But, you know, humpback whales, those are totally different. Those are a whole different species of whales. So there's the humpback whales. And then we're talking about the orcas, which are the killer whales. They're called killer whales. And the orcas are the ones that you see in, like, a, you know, like SeaWorld and things like that, you know, that do the tricks and stuff. But I encourage everyone to boycott SeaWorld or any aquarium that holds these beautiful animals. But anyway, these humpback whales are crashing orca hunts, seemingly driven by an instinct to rescue other animals. It's going to become more clear as I read this article. It's really very interesting. In one of the ocean's most unexpected mysteries, a seal is being hunted by a pod of killer whales, the orcas, when out of nowhere, two humpback whales rush in massively and seemingly determined to stop the kill. This isn't a fluke. In a study of 115 documented cases, scientists observed humpbacks confronting orcas during hunts. And in nearly 90% of those cases, the humpbacks disrupted the attack. Even more surprisingly, many of the animals they protected weren't even of their own species. Yeah, seals, sea lions, gray whale, calves, even sunfish. The humpbacks showed up, placed themselves between predator and prey, used their massive fins to shield the victims, and sometimes physically lifted them out of the water. And then they left. No food, no reward, no obvious benefit. Some scientists believe that this behavior started as a protective instinct, evolved to defend their own calves, and is now being applied to any creature in distress. Others think it may point to complex social awareness or empathy in humpbacks, something we're only beginning to understand. As one researcher put it, it's almost as if humpbacks just don't like bullies. These whales have even been seen traveling long distances just to intervene. One report described humpbacks swimming for hours to reach a killer whale attack, only to chase the orcas off and then disappear into the deep again. Are these acts of instinct, emotion, or something we can't yet explain? We don't know. But in a world where survival often means silence, the humpback's defiance is loud, deliberate, and extraordinary. Now, if you want to learn more, Biddle Jason, did humpbacks try to save a seal from orcas? And you can see for yourself, National Geographic, September 7th, 2023, they actually have a picture of a humpback with, you know, with his nose out of the water, with a seal on top of his nose and an orca like coming towards it. And it looks like the humpback is actually saving the whale from the orca.
Wow.
Yeah. So a scientist was able to do that. So I just feel like, you know, we don't know enough about, you know, nobody knows why the humpbacks are doing this. You know, it could be, like they said, you know, instinct, or they're an instinct that they are protecting their own calf, but it's other species that they're doing, whether they like, they don't like bullies or not, who knows? But maybe it is empathy. You know, we're finding more and more about animals and their feelings and their, you know, social behaviors,
right,
more and more as time goes past. So we really have to have an open mind. So if you want to read more about that, that's on National Geographic, and it's dated September 7th, 2023. I just thought that was really interesting, especially after I was watching those videos of the seals jumping off the, you know. I would know if we were on our boat, a seal jumped on the, I know Robert has a terrible cough. Hope you feel better.
Sorry about that.
Yeah, I mean, if we were on a boat and the seal jumped on and we saw the orcas, I would definitely like bring the little seal in and try to save it. I wouldn't want that to.
Well, those are better than the videos that I get. I get those porch bandits with the blowing up of paint and everything in their face when they steal packages. So you got a better biorhythm than I do.
Yeah, so it is. It depends on what you watch and what you're Googling, you know, that brings your, what do you call it, your biorhythm?
No, that's not what it's called. That's what's going wrong.
It's called the brainwashing
with
of the internet,
yeah,
so that you get to watch these.
And some of them are AI.
Yeah, some of them are.
Always got to be careful of that.
You definitely do. And, you know, a lot of these stories, what I do is, you know, when I find these incredible stories, I'm like, wow, is this true or not?
Right.
But then you do check, you know, you have to double check to make sure that, you know, you're not telling a big fib.
Right.
You know.
I've done that before.
Yeah, we all have, because it's.
I've posted something.
Because you don't know. Yeah.
Somebody goes, is this real? And I went, I better Snopes it. Better go on Snopes.
You could do also ChatGTP sometimes. You could put it in there and say, is this real? And then it'll tell you why it is or why they think it might not be or stuff like that. So I
heard something crazy about ChatGTP,
yeah,
that every email is like a glass of water that that they use.
I don't understand that.
There are all these servers.
There's servers.
And then to keep them cool, because they get hot when people use them and they think a lot.
When you ask
they
them a
heat
question?
Them up. Yeah, they heat up.
Really?
So they're running water through them. There's big happenings, protest happenings, because, of course, where are they going to put them? They're going to put them in poor people's neighborhoods and out in the boonies and be taking all our water.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Well, I know. We have to be careful.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, you know, if you have some time on Thursday through Christmas, stop over at Southdale Mall and eat
dinner.
You might
see Wendy.
Yeah, I'm going to be in there. I'm thinking about maybe bringing an easel and painting there.
Wow, that would be cool.
You know, one day when I'm off on a Friday or a Monday. But yeah, or Dayton's. Go downtown Minneapolis to Dayton's and check it out. Their market there is spectacular.
It is, and it's busy. Hey, thanks, Wendy. What a great update as always. And
Thank you.
I just wanted to say this, too, that Sean Sherman's going to be on The Daily Show tomorrow.
Wow.
And that'll be very cool. And I can go, I know him.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, which is cool. And he's already done the Ancestor one on PBS.
Yeah. Really exciting.
He's got a good agent. Hey, this is Native Roots Radio, and we'll see you tomorrow.
You are listening to Fresh Air Community Radio, KFAI, 90.3 FM, Minneapolis, St. Paul, and around the world at kfai.org, non-commercial, community-powered radio.
Oh, it's bursting with ultrasonic.
Gin and tonic, please.
Oh, it's bursting with ultrasonic.
Gin and tonic.